Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Tuesday, January 26, 2016. I am Jason Powell. On the site today at ProWrestling.net, you can find some interview recaps with New Day members Kofi Kingston and Big E. By the time most of you hear this, Will Pruitt's pause review of last night's WWE Raw will be available. We will also have the WWE Raw ratings and viewership numbers coming up later today. And I also want to mention that I am going to be appearing on Brian Fritz's Between the Ropes podcast over at BetweenTheRopes.com. Guessing that is going up sometime later today. And also on Tuesdays, every Tuesday, I'm on the PW Torch Livecast at PWTorchLivecast.com. Wade Keller and I take your phone calls beginning at 4 p.m. Central, 5 Eastern Time. With that said, let's get into the WWE Raw hit list as it appears in print at ProWrestling.net. Raw hits. We start with The Rock. We've certainly seen hotter segments involving Dwayne The Rock Johnson, but this was a fun, unadvertised appearance. Rock is back in special guest entertainer mode. He wasn't there to set up a big WrestleMania match. He was there to play with New Day and a host of different personalities, including Rick Ross. It's tough when we still have fairly recent memories of Rock delivering promos and taking part in angles that led to big matches. As fun as Rock's comedic appearances are, I think we all naturally prefer segments that are building to a big showdown match. In fact, the comedic tone of the segment and Rock wrapping it up by saying he will see y'all at WrestleMania left me thinking last night might be the last time we see him on WWE television before the big event. Maybe I'm reading too much into that, but if it turns out to be the case, then one has to assume that his previous statement that he will electrify at WrestleMania is code for he is going to appear at WrestleMania rather than wrestle at WrestleMania. Granted, they could recreate what we saw here by having Rock team with the Uso brothers to face New Day in a six-man tag match that would require little more than Rock performing the Rock Bottoms and People's Elbow that we saw in this segment. As much as the WrestleMania card could use Rock even in a six-man tag match, I can't blame the guy if it turns out that he would prefer that his final match be the memorable main event against John Cena rather than a middle-of-the-show six-man tag match. Up next on the hit list, AJ Styles and Chris Jericho. WWE wasted no time in putting Styles in a dream match. Sure, they could have saved this match for pay-per-view, but it's not like there are not countless wrestlers that fans look forward to seeing Styles work with. And who knows, maybe they will take this match to Fastlane if Jericho's character can't handle losing to Styles, and we get an angle coming out of this. Either way, I really liked the pre-match meeting between the two backstage with Jericho big-timing Styles. I also enjoyed the match itself. Sure, it's not what it would have been 5 years ago, but it was still very cool to see the first Styles vs. Jericho match. Next hit, Vince McMahon, Triple H, and Stephanie McMahon opening segment. Vince McMahon is at his best when his character has good reason to gloat. He was downright hilarious while admitting that he enjoys the misfortune and misery of others. In fact, this was the most entertaining Vince has been since he returned to WWE television. Triple H's promo was strong in that he gloated while trying to build up Roman Reigns' abilities. As fun as this was, I still feel strongly that the heel authority figure madness needs to end. More on that in the misses section. Next hit, Kevin Owens against Dolph Ziggler. The match was more competitive than I expected. I thought Ziggler was going to be the fall guy for a dominant and vicious outing from Owens coming off his pay-per-view loss to Ambrose. Instead, it was an entertaining match with Owens going over clean in the end. And if you think about it, the match being competitive was logical given the injuries that Owens was selling from the night before. Next hit, Sasha Banks against Becky Lynch. The match was brief yet entertaining while it lasted. The post-match angle with Charlotte was odd in that she tossed Banks aside to go after Lynch, which didn't make much sense given that Sasha left Charlotte lying the night before. Michael Cole mentioned it on commentary, so I assume it's by design. My guess is that they're setting up a triple threat match, but even then, I'm still not sure why Charlotte would go after the woman she just defeated the night before rather than the woman who attacked her. Nevertheless, I'm still excited to see that the Divas title picture is more interesting than it was even a month ago. Final hit, Kalisto versus Miz. A minor hit for decent action. I'm going to continue to preach the idea of bringing back the open challenge for Kalisto. This meaningless non-title affair could have had some life breathed into it if Kalisto's U.S. championship had been on the line. Kalisto is a great candidate for the open challenge gimmick. It would make the underdog look noble to issue the challenge, and fans would be hanging on every near fall because they see him as being a vulnerable heel champion. Before we get to the misses, just a quick word about ProWrestling.net membership. Last night, I did 40-plus minutes of reviewing the WWE Raw show. Jake Barnett and I got together on Sunday night and did nearly 90 minutes of discussing the Royal Rumble in great detail. I also had my Q&A audio show up exclusively for members yesterday. The members also hear TNA Impact Wrestling audio reviews, Ring of Honor audio reviews, NXT television audio reviews, and the list goes on. If you enjoy the All Access audio content that you hear, then I know you will enjoy ProWrestling.net membership. There is so much more over on the member side. It's just incredible how much the staff and I put together. I'm very proud of the audio content that we put out there, and I really think you would enjoy it. Give it a shot. You can try it out for as little as $7.50 if you take the one-month plan. If this sounds like a good fit for you and you want to commit to a little bit longer, you can save yourself some money by taking our six-month option or annual option. The price goes all the way down to $5.50 a month if you take that annual option. And what better time to do it? WrestleMania season, right? Royal Rumble just happened. You can hear all that audio content and a lot more on the ad-free version of the newly redesigned ProWrestling.net members website. You can also access the forum and correspond with a really good group of people. And still to come this week on the audio side, you will hear Will Pruitt and I get together for the .NET Weekly Audio Show, our flagship audio show, which oftentimes contains first-run news items that have not been reported elsewhere. For all the membership details, visit the main page at ProWrestling.net. Look for the membership sign-up area on the right-hand side of the screen, and it's not going to take you long if you're interested. Just get in there, and you can have almost instant access to all the perks of membership to the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net. And as always, if you have any questions on membership or anything else, you are welcome to hit me up on Twitter at ProWrestlingNet. All right, back to the hit list and the WWE Raw misses. The Fastlane main event announcement is our first miss. The McMahon family went through all the trouble of stacking the deck against Roman Reigns in the Royal Rumble, and Vince McMahon even led a League of Nations attack on him during the match because they desperately wanted him to lose the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. So what do they do the very next night on Raw? They announce that they're giving Reigns a chance to earn a title shot at WrestleMania by booking him in a triple threat match at Fastlane. I guess we're just supposed to forget that Reigns should have a rematch clause in his contract like every other champion. But if you think the McMahon family characters look bad, stop and think about how the real McMahon family looks. After all, Vince has been hell-bent on Reigns getting over as the top babyface in the company, yet he booked him in a situation where he was sure to be booed at the Royal Rumble, and now books him in a match against two of the most popular wrestlers in the company at Fastlane. Naturally, I assume the WrestleMania crowd will boo the hell out of Reigns, too. At this point, I expect Vince to book Reigns against Make-A-Wish kids at the Extreme Rules event. Next miss, Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose against Sheamus and Rusev. League of Nations is like an upper card version of the Social Outcasts in that it seems like a decent idea to make them a faction, yet it turns out they're much better off as individuals. It pains me to think that Rusev was a killer who healed who had one of the great WrestleMania entrances of all time not even a year ago. WWE turned him into a comedy heel and he's never been the same since. And Sheamus still hasn't recovered from the parody booking that defined him down, despite the fact that he won Money in the Bank and even cashed in successfully. So while there was nothing really wrong with the match, I just didn't care if Reigns or Ambrose beat these heels. I really wish they could have brought in Drew Galloway to pair with Sheamus and Wade, not King Barrett, because it strikes me as a trio that would have had chemistry, unlike League of Nations. Next miss, Natalya and Paige against Bree Bell and Alicia Fox. I feel bad giving this match a miss because it was intentionally meant to be a come-down match following the Rock segment. I was just hoping they would have done more for Paige's return to the ring than book her in a throwaway segment. Next miss, Bray Wyatt versus Kane. WWE doesn't want Raw to become the Rocky Horror Picture Show because fans who dress up like wrestlers distract from what's happening in the ring. In this case, WWE should be grateful to those fans because they got an entertaining moment with The Rock out of it, and at least the live crowd stayed awake during this match by humoring themselves with Randy Savage chants. No one wants to see Bray Wyatt versus Kane anymore. It ranks right up there on the For the Love of God Not Again list, along with Roman Reigns versus Big Show versus Kane, Ryback versus Big Show, Kane versus Ryback, and Reigns versus Kane. Final miss, Flo Rida and the Social Outcasts. The only thing positive I can say about this segment is that Bo Dallas bought a singlet. I suppose Bo Rida was fun, if you were in the mood for some quirkiness. Perhaps the saddest part is that I was more entertained by his rap battle performance than actual rapper Flo Rida. I don't care what type of mainstream attention WWE got for this segment, it wasn't worth the torture they inflicted upon their regular viewers. That is it for the WWE Raw hit list. Just a couple of quick bonus items on Raw. Really looking ahead to Fastlane, I need to see what the undercard is like. I can't say that the main event does a lot for me because I don't see Triple H defending his new WWE World Heavyweight Championship against Brock Lesnar. I don't see it happening against Dean Ambrose. There really wasn't a story told at the Rumble where you were left wanting more from Ambrose and Hunter. Hunter eliminated him fair and square. And so all signs point to it being Roman Reigns again. And so it's up to the undercard. And it could be a good one. AJ Styles, obviously, is going to be on this show working against someone. Will it be Kevin Owens? Will it be Chris Jericho? Who will it be? And maybe by that point, Shinsuke Nakamura could be on the show. So Fastlane, even though the main event picture isn't doing a whole lot for me, I still am looking forward to the show, despite the fact that WWE has only announced one thing, and it really doesn't grab me in any meaningful way. And I know some of you guys are going to be complaining about, what about Triple H's 30-day rule? I already had somebody comment on it in the comments section during my Raw Live coverage on Monday night. Look, It doesn't matter. They ignore this when The Rock was, they ignored it when Rock was champion. They didn't Punk miss a series of dates, and I don't remember too many Punk fans who are probably among those complaining about it today, bringing up the 30-day rule. So I mean, really, it's they and in this case, they obviously have the out. They can come up with anything because the heel authority figure actually works to their advantage this one time. It's rare that it does, but it does work to their favor here. This isn't really Raw related, but it is kind of WrestleMania related. Dixie Carter announced today that Jeff Hardy has re-signed with TNA, and that's a guy that WWE should have been interested in. I don't know if they reached out to Jeff Hardy. Jeff Hardy was telling people over Thanksgiving weekend that he had some interest in going back, and as always these days, it's nice to see guys have leverage, and he very well may have wanted that word out there so that he had a little bit of leverage with TNA. Maybe he had no interest in going back to WWE, but he wanted to stay in TNA, but he also wanted to get the best price he could. I don't know, but WWE definitely should have reached out to Jeff Hardy. I think he is one of the few guys out there that they could bring back that would be a difference maker. I would think that Jeff Hardy could be a bigger difference maker for WWE than just getting him at WrestleMania than Kurt Angle would be. And I think a good signing for TNA, especially given what they have going on right now with Matt Hardy as their new heel world champion. And in fact, tonight's TNA Impact Wrestling show is going to open with Jeff Hardy, I assume, giving his first comments on that situation with his brother Matt turning heel along with his wife Rebby last week. And did Maxwell turn too? I don't know if baby Maxwell has turned heel or not, but maybe we'll find out more details there. His diaper bag was kind of heelish because it had a hammer in it that Matt wanted to use. But Jeff will open the show tonight on Impact, and the show will also feature the Feast or Fired match. I've never been a big fan of the Feast or Fired thing. It just seems silly that wrestlers would take a chance on getting a title shot that they hand out, you know, like candy in TNA anyway, and run the risk of being fired. It just sounds so cold. Like, yes, take this chance, and if you win, great. And if you win a briefcase, you have a 1 in 4 chance of being fired. So you win the match, but you may be fired for it if you grab the wrong briefcase. It's silly. I think they're also having an X Division title match with DJZ, Tigre Uno, and Mandrews on this show. And it looks like Velvet Sky against Awesome Kong. They need to get the Knockouts division. They need to get this thing back on track. It's been a pretty big mess thus far. It's not that there aren't some good things there. It's just, I'm not very encouraged by some of the newcomers that they're bringing in. We'll wait and see on it, though. I mean, at least one of them, one of the former Tough Enough participants was trained by Lance Storm, so at least there's that. But they really need to get this thing going. It was something that TNA really took pride in at one point, and for good reason. They had the better women's division, and right now, it's not even close. I mean, WWE, even with all the flaws creatively, they are doing a much better job, certainly at the NXT level, and I think things are starting to come together a little bit, at least as far as the title picture is concerned on Raw. They need to do a better job, though, with everyone else, because that's what Paige, Natalya, Brie Bell, and Alicia Fox felt like last night, and really most weeks, if you're not challenging, if you're not in that Divas Championship picture, you're just kind of everybody else on Raw, and they need to improve on that as well. But finally, jumping back to TNA, don't forget, I will have live coverage of that show as it airs on Pop TV. I've been saying that I think last week's Impact Wrestling show was one of the best that this company has done. And now they've certainly had stretches where they've had, you know, AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, Christopher Daniels, and guys like that in their primes, and they've had some really great matches. Last week was a creative success for TNA. It just everything came together really well. well for Matt Hardy's heel turn and what should be EC3's babyface turn, look at a double turn. And so I'm curious to see where that goes. And so far, each show since they've debuted on Pop has been better than the last. And granted, there's only been three. I don't know if they'll be able to top last week's show tonight, but I hope they find a way to keep the momentum going. So join me for live coverage of that. That is going to do it for today, everybody. Please remember to subscribe to this daily podcast. Rate and review us on iTunes if you have the chance, and anywhere else that allows those type of reviews. This is always appreciated because you're helping spread the word about the podcast. But thank you very much for listening, and I will talk to you again very soon. Take care.